ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right, for you got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right, because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway.
Thank you. This first night in this three-night gathering of God's people, revival, and our prayer is that you would let God give the church revival.
Amen.
You would seek it, you would request it, you would petition it, that God will give the church revival. Let the church, the people of God, experience a fresh breathing of the Holy Spirit upon the body of Christ. That you would be renewed inwardly. And that you would grow closer to the Lord. Amen. Without fear. Without fear. It is our prayer in this revival. Good to see you, Greg. So tonight, let me just share a few features about Jesus as a friend. As a friend. One of the better ways to test one's friendship is to look at the people he or she has befriended. And the kind of people that have been attracted to him and have grown from mere faint acquaintance with him or distant learning and have grown intimately with him, and that intimacy has moved to another level, that now he can say to them, you're no more servants, but friends. Friends. And listen, brothers and sisters, it is good to have the friendship of God. And to be called, like Abraham, a friend of God. I want to be known as a friend of God, not just a church attendant, but a friend of God. Not just a Bible reader or someone who says their prayers but yet never prays. A friend of God. So one of the ways to look at and critique and make observation of Jesus as a friend is to inquire among his friends what it is like. What are the unique features and qualities of his friendship? Amen. And a person's friends says a whole lot about him, because these are the people you allow to get in. You open the door. They have an open door policy with you. They do not have to knock in order to come in. They just walk in. And they don't need our permission to enter the conversation. They just up and start talking. Friends, friends. So as we look at his friendship. And another reason I'm preaching this message tonight is that at somewhere doing the preaching, because preaching is an event, that means it's a happening. Something happens when the word goes forth. When the word is released, when the word is poured out, when the word is spilled, something happens. And somewhere in the course or the journey in the preaching, if you don't have a friend, could I persuade you tonight, amen, to let Jesus be your friend? Once you become intimately acquainted with him, he makes you friendly. I'm a little bothered, and I question that. People who say that they're walking with the Lord, and they're always frowning, they're bitter. They don't get along with anyone. Amen. They're solo Christians. It's just them and the Lord. Amen. You know, if God's going to do a work in your life, it's going to be him plus you and others. Because he's going to use a community to help shape you, direct you, guide you, discipline you, shape you. He's going to use other people. It's more than just you and the Lord. It's you, God, plus others. That's going to be a part of your experience and your journey as a child of God. Amen. Now, what would these three reveal to us about Jesus as a friend? The story opens here with a problem that is very familiar to the human story. Sickness. Sickness. A certain man was sick. His name is Lazarus. We know that. And he and his sisters live in Bethany. That's about 2 miles south of Jerusalem. It takes about a full day's journey to get there, because people walked where they went. And on their way, they did a whole lot of socializing. So that would prolong the journey. But one of the first features we notice about him is that he did have friends. He had friends. We know about his enemies. We know about his opponents. But he did have friends. And what does the wisdom literature teach us? If a man wishes to have friends, he must initiate the process. He has to first do what? Show him or herself friendly. And I want you to question after tonight, any person who claims to be a child of God and doesn't have at least one friend. Amen. And you ought to have friends in the place where you worship. I don't think I can go to a church year in and year out, and in that congregation, I don't have at least one friend. Yes, it's something wrong with me. have a friend other than Jesus. You should have some human friends. And you know, I love the Lord, and I'm ever more grateful that he is my friend. But I also need some flesh and blood friends. I need them kind of friends I get my hands on. Or a friend that I can say, may I have some of this? Hmm? Oh, yeah. A friend that can touch me tangibly and physically. I need that kind of friend as well. But we notice this about him, that he was a very casual friend. In visiting their home, they were ready to host him and entertain him. So right away, these two sisters went to their particular area of interest, how to entertain Jesus, how to meet his needs. Martha rushes off to the kitchen and tumble in the pots and pans. Mary sits at his feet. They go, you know, they go up front in the living room and sit down there for quiet time, sitting at his feet, which in that day was the suggestive of submission, that she sat in the presence of the superior. She assumed the posture of a student, a learner, a disciple in the presence of her master. She sat at his feet. Now, and Martha comes in as a friend now and just budge in, bulldoze her way into the conversation. She doesn't ask to say, wait a minute, give me a moment, may I? No, not friends now. You know how friends act. They don't ask for permission. Can I get in on this conversation? You know, they just walk in and start talking. And she says, one of the things I need to stop here is to keep Mary from monopolizing Jesus' attention. So, Lord, could you get her to come here in the kitchen and help me prepare this meal? Those are friends. Only friends talk like that. Close friends now. And Jesus said, my friend, Martha, you are concerned and burdened about many things. But I want you to know, my friend, Martha, that if I don't eat your meal, I am not going to starve. But if you don't get some of this, because Mary has chosen the best part. I'm not going to starve if I don't eat your cooking. But if you don't get in on this, it wasn't rebuke. It wasn't disrespect. These are friends talking. And friends can talk to each other like that. You don't have to explain yourself to a friend. Amen now. And a real friend does not guess where you're coming from. They know where you're coming from. Amen. So he was a casual. He knew how to critique. He knew what tone of voice to use, and he did not speak to her in a disrespectful way or spoke down to her, but merely said that there is something of importance here. So he was very casual kind of friend. The next thing we notice about the friendship of Jesus is that he was sympathetic. A sympathetic friend. they called him at a time when they were experiencing great pain. And what he did, he came and he mingled his tears with theirs. Amen? A friend weeps with their friends. A friend cries with their friend. A friend rejoices with their friend. You know, a real friend is happy when you succeed. Yes, a real friend rejoices when you are delivered. A real friend celebrates when you finally gotten something. A real friend. Oh, but that individual who's overtaken by envy and covetousness, my God, don't you let them know that you got that promotion. And don't you let them know that everything is going all right in your home. Amen. And that you got a little money in your pocket. And your ride is not a hoopty. You're on four good tires and your engine is running smoothly. You better keep some of that information to yourself. Amen. But you don't have to worry about that with real friends. He mingled his tears with their tears. And the Bible said Jesus wept. He was sympathetic to their pain and to their problem. Not only was he casual and sympathetic, but watch this. Watch friends now. Watch the friendship. They sent him a message that had no request in it. The only thing that the message said, him whom thou lovest is sick. That's all it said. That was no request. Get here in a hurry, Jesus. Your friend Lazarus is sick, and he's at the point of death. You need to arrive here as quickly as you can. That was no request in it. You know why? Because friends understand the language. You understand the language of friendship. And when you're a friend, you don't have to request his presence. He understands your language. It had no request. Just that the one you love is sick. And Jesus started his journey toward Bethany. Even when our speech is broken and our message is incomplete, our friend from on high. You know, there's something beautiful about love. When there's no speech, love interprets. That's what Paul says, that when we don't know not only what to pray for, our friend called the Holy Spirit comes in as a prayer partner. And in language we don't understand, take our inferior, incomplete prayers, our boxed up language, and he translates it and moans and groans that we will never be able to cipher or decode. That's my friend. And sometimes you can pray and pray so hard and so intensely and pray with pain and pray with tears until you run out of words. And where your words fail, the Holy Spirit picks up. I wonder, does anybody here know what I'm talking about? It was just a message with no request. Him whom you love is sick. That's all you got to say to him. Amen. And the shortest prayer is mercy. You don't have to go all through, you know, all that elaborate flowery language, beautiful colorful adjectives. Huh? Subject and verb agreeing. Modifiers in the right place. Sometimes it's just simply, Lord, have mercy. There's no request, but it's just a message. Have mercy. And yonder come my friend. And he came. And he delayed. And he hung around on somewhere out there in Bethany for another 2 days. It doesn't say whether he was in North Bethany or South Bethany or East Bethany or West Bethany. But I tell you what, Martha went out and found him. And after she had a conversation with him, she went back home and told Mary, the Lord is here. Oh, God, I need somebody. The Lord is here. It's all right now. He's put his hand to the problem. The Lord is here. Mount Olive, the Lord is here. Garden of Glory, Bayou Rapids, Alexandria, Rapids Parish. The Lord is here now. Let's go out to him. Doesn't say where he was at, but they found him. He went out to him and told him, our friend, not only is he cordial and sympathetic and feel, look what kind of friend he is. There in Isaiah chapter 53. Hey, amen. He's a man of sorrows. He's acquainted with grief. Yeah. He bore our iniquities. He feels our pain. Look at this friend who takes the chromosome effect and work his way into our lives, into our pain. There is no pain that Jesus cannot feel. There is no sorrow he's not acquainted with. There is no night too dark. Oh, no. No valley too lonesome that our Lord is not familiar with. Oh, my God. I'm trying to describe my friend. Do we have the same friend? You know how they would do that in the old church? If they were eavesdropping on two other saints talking, and if they thought they were talking about Jesus, they would say, if you're talking about Jesus, he is a friend of mine. If you're talking about the Lamb, he is a friend. If you're talking about the man who calmed the waters, he is my friend. If you're talking about Jesus. He's a friend of mine. They would sing, our Father in heaven, he surely answers prayers. And somebody would say, I've tried the man. And the man is all right. I'm talking about my friend tonight. Not only that, but he was a friend with authority. With authority. Lazarus is now dead. And our friend shows up, 4 days late. My, by our calculation, you're too late. Listen at it in the voice of Martha. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you had been here. He said, that's all right. It's all right. Be late by your calculation and by your time clock. But we know better, don't we? Our friend, he never is too early. Never is too late. But he's always. I want you all to know I serve an on-time God. He's on time. He's on time, I tell you. He's on time. He didn't save me by accident. He saved me on time. He's an on-time God. He intended to save me. He's on time, church. But my friend has authority. Show me where you have laid him. And John says there with a loud voice, good God Almighty, a voice sound like the clashing of mighty waters. A loud voice, a voice that rumbled like thunder. A loud voice that went off like a volcano exploding. A loud voice. It was so loud and potent with power that it pierced through the darkness. And the grave that was holding Lazarus trembled. Death had draped itself around the grave. And that voice that was so powerful, it called, Lazarus! Mm-hmm. And that voice pierced through the darkness of death. And I'm so glad that his voice can cut through the darkness. Cut through the pain. Cut through the confusion. Cut through the trouble. And get to where I'm at. And I hear his voice. Lazarus couldn't help but get up, because his friend was calling. Friend Lazarus, and he who was dead, wrapped up like a mummy, wrapped up so tight until he couldn't move a limb on his body, face covered, mouth covered, wrapped tight, eyes covered, laying lifeless and still. But when he heard that voice, there was movement in the grave. In the day that you heard him, your heart woke up. When you heard amazing grace, oh, that woke me up. How sweet the sound. I heard grace whispering in my ears, telling me, for God so loved the world. What a friend. Do you know my friend? Come on, Marvin. Do you know my friend tonight? Do you have my friend? Shall I ask the question? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Oh, what a privilege it is to take everything to him in prayer. My friend. My friend. And if you don't have a friend, I don't mind sharing this friend with you. He's big enough to be everybody's friend. White, black, rich or poor, everybody's friend. He wants to be your friend tonight. Yes, and old brother Lazarus got up because his friend called him. And he glided. He couldn't walk. He glided out of the grave. The only request Jesus made was remove the stone. And out of the tomb came his friend. Gliding about 6 feet above the earth. And he said to the community, now y'all unwrap him. The miracle has taken place. Get the grave clothes off of him. He has been raised from the dead. Take the grave clothes off of him. He has been brought back. Take the grave clothes off. You know who did that? My friend. My friend did that. And I believe my friend has passed by your way. Huh? And did something miraculous.